Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be gathered here again this morning in the presence of fellow believers and to worship God together. We think about, I was tremendously blessed this morning as we studied the Word of God, as we looked into what the teachings of Christ and what He has for us. There's always inspiration through the Word of God again and again. It never gets old. And that's the blessing of the Word of God. It's something that has applied in Paul's day, and it's something that applies today and will apply on into the future. There's a promise that's always there. Bring your greetings from the Susquehanna Valley congregation. If you ever get up there, stop in. We do enjoy visitors. For a message this morning, you can turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I like to think about treasure, the treasure in earthen vessels. Now we think about a vessel, I think about a clay potter, piece of pottery. I think about something that is maybe slightly fragile, something that will break easily. I think of a flower pot in our flower bed at home. We have one of the big clay flower pots, and it's laying on its side, and the side of it's cracked open. There's flowers growing out of it. Okay, think of something that's kind of prone to break. I want you to think about our lives and about Christ and the treasure that He places within your life to glorify Him. But first of all, before we go there, I'd like to take you on a little journey through Scripture. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, very beginning of time. We think about the treasure, the light that the treasure produces that is in your vessel. Back in the very beginning of time, Genesis chapter 1, verse 4, says this, and God saw, verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Jumping over a few verses, Verse 13 and 14. It says, and the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the darkness from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Back in the beginning of time, this mass of darkness, God commanded light. Boom, the whole earth was bright. What was the first light that God created here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 4? He talks about that light. I think it was the light of Jesus Christ lighting up the universe. Because it wasn't until later that he talks about the light the moon and stars and placed in the heavens. Now turn over with me to chapter 2, verse 7 of Genesis. Chapter 2, verse 7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Every human being this morning was brought to life by the breath of God. Was brought to life by God Himself. He breathed into your nostrils the breath of life, and you became a living soul. Every one of us sitting here this morning has a soul, a never-dying soul that will never die. It's going to spend eternity somewhere. We talked about in devotions, we talked about our thought life. And we talked about thoughts produce a destination. Every one of us this morning are in control of the direction that you are going. And unless we realize that the thoughts you dwell on and the things you process, it's going to lead you somewhere. You're going to go from one shipwreck to the next in your life. And nothing's going to make sense. Turn over to John chapter 8, New Testament. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now back in the beginning of time, God breathed into man. God breathed into not the nostrils of man, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And here he says, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, okay, but shall have the light of life. God puts his treasure this morning in our earthen vessels to bring glory to him. Now also in John chapter 1, back up to John chapter 1, he talks some more about this. I'm going to read a few verses here. Breaking into verse 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 8 says, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. This morning, every one of us are here to bear witness of a greater power. We are all here this morning to bear witness of a greater God, someone that is beyond you, someone that is beyond me. That's what God has created us for. And as we think about that this morning and the treasure, turn back to Isaiah chapter 6 yet. We have Isaiah here and his, we'll just read it. Isaiah 6, why don't we read 1 to 8 here. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one having had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. This was Isaiah's response to the holiness of God. And I can't imagine what Isaiah saw here. I can't imagine the fear that must have struck in Isaiah's heart as he realized what God and the holiness of God and you know, it struck him to a fear of obedience to God. Back in the beginning, in verse 1 there, it says, and his train filled the temple. Now that word train there has the idea of a skirt or the borders of a garment. And as you think about that, it said it filled the temple. You know, there's nothing in this life that can contain the glory of God. And as we think about the believer's life, and as we think about the vessel that houses the glory of God, a vessel that is truly housing the glory of God will never be able to contain it all. It will be spilling out of his life. It will be spilling out of all over. You know, the same light that blinded the eyes of Paul in Acts chapter 9 is that same light that God puts in each one of our lives. He wants to house his treasure in your earthen vessel. He wants to house the beauty of his glory in your life. Now let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to read the whole chapter to chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. For we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. You know, the things in our life die. The things of self die, but the glory of God is brought forth when the things of life, and that's what verse 12 is talking about. Verse 13, and we have this same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, for the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Verse 2 says, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. This morning, as we think about the vessel and the treasure in our vessel, Paul here realized the importance of maintenance, Christian maintenance. You know, we like to think about the vessel as being, you know, okay, we talked about in Jeremiah, he talks about the potter making, and I don't know if you ever watched a potter make a clay pot, but you know, as they make that clay pot, and they make a perfect, you know, them, and I think about Christ and his clay vessels that he produces every day. And we think about a perfect vessel. We you go buy one of those clay pots. You buy one that's not cracked. It's perfect, right? And we think about Christ making a perfect vessel, and that's what we picture a perfect vessel. Something that don't have cracks in it, something that's nice, it's smooth, it's not ugly looking, it's not dirty, it's clean. And you know, sometimes I wonder, is God looking for this perfect looking? They're just perfect looking on the outside. They're just right. Or is he looking for somebody that's totally sold out for him? That's using the victories in his life, the struggles, the battles he's winning to serve God. And you know, a lot of those times there's huge cracks in someone's life because of failure, because of problems. But you know, they've taken that crack in the side of their vessel and they've used it to glorify God. But you're not going to, our bodies are human. I don't know if you get what I'm driving at, but we're human this morning. We're gonna have problems, we're gonna fail, we're gonna fall short of the glory of God time and time again. But you know, God has provided a way back. He has provided he wants to house his vessel, his treasure in your cracked. And I like to think about this morning of the beauty of a vessel that is allowing the light of Jesus Christ to shine through the cracks in their life to those around. You know, the more cracks that you have in your vessel, the more you have to give God. Not like we should go out and fail to bring God more glory. But you have something to give God from the cracks in your vessel. You have something, because he says, verse 8, he says, we're troubled on every side. You know, but we don't need to be distressed. We're perplexed, but we don't need to be despaired. Persecuted, but we not forsaken. We have the promise of Jesus. I love verse 6. He says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. The light that shined out of darkness. You know, the light in Genesis 1, jumping back to Genesis 1 just for a minute. The light that suddenly brought light to the universe. That quick. The light that has shined out of darkness has brought light to all mankind. Has brought light to your life. Has brought light to my life. And here's why. In the latter part of that verse says, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But he starts in at verse 7. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are prone to failure. We are prone to struggle. You know, one couple things we get confused so many times is we have to understand that the vessel is frail and has many problems. But the treasure is not. The treasure will never fail. The Word of God will never let you down. It's your focus in life that will determine how you view that. You know, the vessel, your life is subject to pressure, but the treasure is not. This morning, your life is subject to the pressures of life, the demands of life. You know, and you don't have to get that old until you realize that life has pretty many pressures. And after a while, you feel like if you don't do something, you'll get crushed. You just kind of keep pushing in. But you know, the treasure that we house in our lives is not subject to that pressure. We don't need to. God is still there. He's always been the same. He never changes. You know, while we may feel beaten, while we may feel overcome, while we may feel overrun, The treasure rises above the occasion. Okay? Whatever you might be facing, maybe it's financial struggles. Maybe you just one bill to the next and you can't quite make it, and it's just always there to bite your heels whenever you turn around. Maybe it's a death in the family. Maybe it's something else that you're facing that you just feel overcome. The treasure in your vessel is not subject to that pressure. It's far above that. You know, sometimes we become so involved in guarding the vessel that we forget about the treasure. Maybe you're not like me. Maybe you don't have that problem. I don't know. But you become so involved in protecting yourself because you've got to. Pressure is about to crush you. You've got to protect yourself. You have to supply financially, so you need to do what you need to do. You become so involved in protecting yourself that you forget about God, and you forget about that He's not subject to this pressure. It's the treasure that will preserve you. It's not what you do. The treasure of the Word of God is what will protect you. It's not what you do. Comes back to that, the thinking. You know, Paul realized the importance of maintaining the Christian life. And that's the reason he puts this in here in the end of the chapter. He says, verse 16, he says, "For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." You know what happens so many times? As you know, life's going good. No financial stress. Nothing major. And you're rolling along. And you know, maybe your devotional life becomes a little slack. You become busy and, you know, you don't really upkeep your relationship. Your prayer life starts to slack off. And, you know, suddenly calamity strikes. And you're not ready for it. Because, you know, the devil knows exactly when to strike. He knows when you're at your weakest point. And, you know, when the calamity strikes, he's ready to feed you all the lies that he can get into you. We need to preserve the treasure. We need to realize that the treasure is what matters. You know, the soul, the breath of God that brought to life your living, your never dying soul, is what matters. The vessel doesn't matter. That's going to pass away. One day, we're all going to go to heaven. We're going to stand before God. We're going to give an account for our lives. And you know, the treasure that you preserved in your life. When you think about a treasure, you know, some people, you can have different treasures. Some children, they collect rocks at home. We used to collect fossils. You know, kind of just treasure drawer. All our children have a treasure drawer at home. They collect stuff and put it in their treasure drawer, okay? We all have a treasure drawer, but what kind of treasure are you putting in your drawer? What kind of treasure are you putting in your life? Is your treasure your farm? Is it your money? Is it your wife? Your children? Your husband? What's your treasure? Matthew says that if we don't deny all these things, that we can't be his disciple. God doesn't want your stuff. He doesn't want your things. He wants you. Personally. You know, we don't deny the fact that we need sleep. We don't sleep a night. I remember as a young man, well, a couple times, stayed up all night, never slept till the next night. And you know, it tells on you. Okay, you can't do that real often. If you don't sleep the next night, I remember reading a news clip of a teenager, died. He was watching video, he was playing video games for 40 hours straight. He was just locked to his screen. And he actually died from lack of sleep. I don't know the scenario. I don't know what exactly happened there. But you know, he was must have been definitely involved. We do not deny the fact that we need sleep. But somehow we think we can deny the fact that we need God. Somehow we think we can deny the fact that we need spiritual rest. We need spiritual renewing, spiritual refreshing. And not only once in a while, but day by day. Something that's a continual experience in your life. Something that happens on a daily basis. Because we are frail. You can't house the glory of God. You know, in the same way we can't store up sleep. You can't, you know, sleep a whole bunch so you could be awake a whole bunch. Okay, you can't store up sleep. The glory of God cannot be stored up in our lives. You cannot store the glory of God for future experiences. The renewing of a person's life is a day-by-day experience. It's something that happens regularly. The light needs to shine out of our lives, needs to shine forth from our lives. Whether we feel overwhelmed this morning, or whether we feel burdened, Christ is above our struggles. And He is far greater than the burden you are facing. He is far greater than the struggle you might be facing. The problem isn't that the vessel isn't strong enough. But it's rather that you haven't been faithful in maintaining your vessel. Because the treasure in your vessel has the power to bring healing. Let's never neglect the treasure. And never underestimate the power of the devil. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 14. To 21 here, a few verses. And these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. For their word will eat at doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concern the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. For in a great house there is not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Verse 21 is the verse I want. Says, if a man therefore purge himself from these. What's a man supposed to purge himself? You know, in life, We have friends. We have people that influence our lives. And you know, when we allow ourselves to be just around the people, he talks about, backing up to verse 19, it says, nevertheless, the foundations, actually before that, who concerning the truth, verse 18, but have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and have overthrown the faith of some. And then in verse 21, it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, staying away from those who are of wrong influence in our lives, realizing the influence of other people in our lives. But he says, when we surround ourselves with those who are housing the treasure of God, he says, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. When we house the light of Jesus Christ in our lives, we can be a vessel of use in God's kingdom. You can be a witness and a power for God. And then in closing, turn to 1 John chapter 1. Five verses here, 5-10. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. This morning, if we expect light to shine from our vessel, we need to walk in the light. We need to follow him in the light. We can't expect to walk in darkness. He says there, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. When we walk in the light cleanses. Think about the light and the darkness that disappeared when the light came. It's the same in our lives. When you allow the treasure and the light of the treasure to light your life, the darkness disappears. It illuminates your life. Things become clearer. You can understand things better in our lives when the light is on. Let's kneel in prayer.